the people of India are so hungry for the gospel. And I think I've shared with you, out of 2.3 billion people in India, 5% are Christians. But they know that what they have been living for and worshiping isn't working for them. So they're starving for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we had the privilege of going in. We left here on the 23rd of February, flew into Amsterdam, was there for a short, about half hour, then to Mumbai, and from Mumbai we went to Rajahmundry. And I've flown a lot, but not all at once. It was like 31 hours to get just to Rajahmundry where we went. And I don't fit in planes real well. So nobody was happy around me. And I made sure of it. A lot of prayers were going up. A lot of tongues being spoken, even by people in the plane just started chanting just so they'd be covered in prayer. It was pretty uncomfortable, but, and that's why I'm still sitting, because it was 36 hours to get home, and I'm not good crunched up. And then in India, I mean, the tallest person is like 4'2". So either I rode on top of the car or I followed it. And actually they went and rented a bus. Well, they call it a bus. It was just a van with an extra seat. But the thing is, they're like this wide. So I had to sort of sit on two seats so both cheeks were covered, you know. Like being in the airplane, they put you in the aisle seat, and all the whole flight, I'm going, poof, I'm getting hit by the carts going by the airline people that would walk through the aisle. They're slamming into me. There's no sleeping. But praise God. It was, you know, he was just armoring me up to get out there. And because when I left here, it was 10 below, and I got there, it was 95. I hate heat. I am a person at 60 to 70, I'm really good. And over that, I'm like sitting in a swimming pool. But the people of India were probably, like I said, I've traveled around quite a bit, and I have never met such compassionate people. There they walk, actually, they'll be driving down the streets. And if you wanted lessons in driving, go to India. One day, and you'll scream. You're either being in the back of the bus with a bag throwing up, or you're just laying in the seat praying, because they come at you at every direction. There is no right or left side. They just use the road on both sides. And if there's an opening between the barriers, they shoot between it to come to the other side. So you either got 75,000 motorcycles coming at you at once with four people on each of it and all their clothes and all their belongings. And if there's more in a family, there's another motorcycle right next to it. And the men who drive these little bikes, they're not motorcycles, they're like scooters, and they're holding hands as they're driving down the road. And I don't know if they think that's a barrier, but, and it's funny because the Hindu people, they believe whatever happens, happens. So if they walk in front of you and get run over, that's okay with them. They don't care. So you wouldn't believe how many people get run over in that country. I mean, bus goes right through. There's no stop signs, no stop lights. And if there is one, they don't stop anyway. So, and it's just a block from where we're at, a bus went right through lights like everybody else was and ran over five people in motorcycle, killed all five of them. And, of course, he went to jail for that, reckless driving. How do you get reckless driving when everyone's reckless? I mean, it's unbelievable. I actually tried to challenge, I challenged our driver. I says, let me drive. And of course, Tom and all the whole group, no, we won't. Let us out. I go, I could do this. I really can. I can run people over. I'm or or move a car or two. And most of them you could move with one arm. They're just like these little smart cars. Why would they call them smart cars when one person can fit in them? And if you fell on top of it, you'd crush everybody in it. I don't get it. But like I said, we were in the air for 31 hours going there. And then we were in vehicles anywhere from 2 to 6 hours a day. Now, we met with 600 pastors plus from all of the country came in from the north, south, east, and west. We were down in the southern part of India. We went from Mumbai, which is the west side, to Rajahmundry, which is the east, and from the east we went south. We were out through leopard colonies. We were on islands that no white person had ever been on, and we were so received, so welcome. I mean, it was like just going home every time we went somewhere. They just were hungry, but the gifts that were brought, God just brought these gifts because salvation after salvation after salvation. They were aware of the Holy Spirit, but they didn't know how to receive it. They didn't understand that it was a gift once they received Christ as a personal Savior. But to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we shared with them what the Bible has said, that you pray for your gifts. You pray to bring in these gifts. And I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit fell on these people. Everywhere we'd go, they would have a full sanctuary. And I think I mentioned this last week, that the sanctuary would be full right up to the back doors, to where they're standing on the outside of the back doors. So they had to take speakers and put them out on the sidewalks. And then it started filling up from the sidewalks to the street. And you do not stand in the street, or you're not going to be standing long anyway, because it's just constant movement. So they went from one side of the street to the other side of the street, where they're coming out of their houses, their homes. And as we're praying for salvation to receive Jesus Christ, people in the streets were stopping their cars and getting out and raising their hands, coming out of their houses. This is the power of prayer. And after the message, there's no time limit there. You think you have services long here? it's 6 hours. You're going to spend 6 hours in one church there. And it is probably the heaviest worship I've ever had privilege to be in. Because they'd start out because they weren't real sure how to receive the Holy Spirit. And then when we'd pray for them to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, 75% of the people started speaking in tongues. Never had done it before. We'd step off the stage to go out into the audience and pray for healings on them. And as we hit the ground, they just started falling. Just from stepping off the stage. It wasn't us, the presence of God. It was just he was using us to move. And as we walked through, people would be falling against your leg, just falling into you, just falling over. They were just like they'd all been shot. They were shot by the Holy Spirit. And their prayer, they'd start out mild and, you know, a little quiet. But by the end, we had to wear earplugs up on the stage. It got so loud we couldn't hear each other sitting next to each other. It was deafening. I mean, your head was ringing. And after about 5-6 hours of this, your eyes are bugged out. And they're thinking you're possessed at this time. They would stop only to feed you. They'd stop to feed you, and they take you into a special part of their building where their kitchen was. And everything's cooked in pots outside. Tons of rice. And, I mean, curry. You think curry's hot here? They're mild is the hottest you can get in the United States. And I'm still recovering. I mean... I have to eat a lot of ice cream. It's an excuse just to cool my stomach off. And it was pretty hot. But it was so good. And stuff that you didn't ask what was in it because you didn't care at that point. It was really tasty stuff and unique, I would say. And to try to get an ice cube, they don't even know how to say it. They look at you and, you know, frozen water. They'd bring you something out of a fridge. It was about 40 degrees. That's where they kept their fridges. It was cool. It wasn't cold. But as God was moving, and like I said, for the 16 days that we were there, we spent a day and a half flying in a plane, then getting in these cars and driving, and we never had a day off until the day we were coming home. We had a break from noon on that Sunday and had to be at the airport at Monday at 9 o'clock, I think it was, and that was a six-hour drive. So that was our break. So we did get to go out one night into the town, and it was, I'll tell you, I was a freak there. I'm not kidding you. I mean, when people are this tall, and I'm walking down the streets, when I was in professional wrestling, you know, we did a lot of photograph things that went on, and I never, ever had taken so many pictures as I did with people just surrounding me. We'd get done praying, and the receiving the Holy Spirit and the gifts were there, and then they wanted healing touches. Well, Tom would say, well, you know, I'd give a testimony of what God had done in my life with healing. And I'd share with the people, and our interpreters, they were just fantastic because you could just keep talking like this and they're talking right with you. So it's just blocking them out, saying what you had to say or reading the verses you wanted to say, and they were right on it. So it was really easy that way. But so Tom and Calvin and Rabbi Bruce and Jane, they'd call for healing, and all the people would start coming up to the stage. And I could go from one side or the other side. No matter which side I went to, that's where they were going. So all of a sudden, I'm turning around looking, and Bruce and Jane and all of them are sitting on the stage with their arms crossed, say, hey, we're done. You're the one that has to. So I'd have to stay an extra hour just start praying with people because they didn't want no one else praying for them at this time. And a special, as I was telling you, we 600 pastors that we talked to, one of them had polio from birth. And when he walked in, we really didn't notice him or anything, but the Lord just pointed him out to me when I was giving my testimony. And I stopped right in the middle of the testimony. I said, pointed at him, I said, you need to come up here. And as he walked up, he had a very severe limp and set him in a chair. And he has no idea what's going on. And I asked the interpreter what's wrong with him. And he said he had polio since birth. And his whole left side was sort of crippled up. And the Lord just says, grab his legs. And I grabbed his legs. And the left leg was about three and a half inches shorter than his, and his foot was smaller and everything on his left side. And as I raised his legs, I just said, in the name of Jesus, grow. And we watched his leg start coming out. It came out about 3.5 inches short. It came out 3 inches. And he's amazed because he's feeling this and he's looking at it. His foot's unfolding and he stands up. And he just takes off. He just starts walking, and he, in his language, he's talking about, I feel it. I can feel the difference. I'm not limping, and he's just running all over the place. And we just told him, keep praising God and thanking God, because it's not us. It's not us. It's God using us, because we believe what God will do. But it's not only that. It's if they believe God will heal. You're the ones that heal yourselves. Because your faith and your trust in the Lord to his promise, we believe that as we go out and touch. You believe it, and you'll receive it. And it's by praising his name. So this guy was just all over. The next couple of days we'd seen him, he was just following us around the country and telling his story that what God has done in his life. And he had been since birth that way. And then he was receiving healing, so. Just amazing things like that. We've had demonic, full demonic, with several things in them, because they'd hit the floor and they'd be screaming and just uncontrollable. They couldn't hold them. They couldn't do nothing. And we just put hands on them and start praying out the demon. And Tom was very gifted in this, because he could touch them and knew when they were coming out. Because he'd look at them and they'd stop. But he kept watching the eyes. The eyes kept twitching. And he said, who else is in there? And one lady had about 6 or 7 demons come out of her. And then after that last one, she just passed out. And she was out for a half hour. And then when she stood up, she just, you could see a new creature in front of you. She was cleared. And we had several of those happening, and baptisms. And but just this morning, I got a text from one of the bishops there. His name's Raul Conan. I'm probably not saying it right, but it's close. And he just said, you wouldn't believe the change, the shift that's going on in this country. He said, there's thousands coming to the Christ. He says, the Hindus are really putting up a fuss because of what has happened. He said, because their money sort of disappearing, because people are realizing you don't pay your way into the kingdom, you pray your way into it and receive that. And so they're seeing even themselves in these groups of people who are standing out in the streets. They would send in the Hindu radicals. They're like the hit squad of, you know, bad guys. I never could understand a guy that's 5 foot nothing carrying a stick as a bad guy. I just, it doesn't impress me. And it's a skinny stick. It's going to give you a whooping. But they would come, and all of a sudden you'd see them throw the sticks in the air and start raising their hands or wiping the dots off their forehead and praising Jesus. I mean, the Spirit of God just took over and just magnified this. And our host, they were just the most loving, godly. They call you aunts and uncles. That's your family. As soon as you get there, they'll say Uncle Doug or Aunt whoever, you know, Aunt Jane. And they chase you down, uncle, uncle, uncle. Even the people in the street are calling you uncles. They never met you in their life. You're their uncle, their family. And they'll want to walk over and grab your hand, and they want to hold hands walking down the street. And, you know, here you look at it thinking, uh-oh, you know, funny people. And praise God for them. May you bring them to their knees. But they'd reach out and just grab your hand. And they'd be walking down the street just like, look what I got, you know. And he's like dragging you around. And Calvin, it was really funny because Calvin, one of them came up and grabbed Calvin's hand and he just went and got stiff, you know, sort of. He wouldn't close his hand. He's sort of like walking like this and he's looking at us. And we're looking at him dying laughing because it was just funny, the expression, fine, alive. I guess I can't do. But you just got used to it. I mean, I'd walk in a store and I'd be, you know, being in a street and I'd walk in a store and they'd see me come in and covered in sweat, of course, and they'd put me in front of the fans and blowers and they'd be fanning me and bringing me cold drinks. And I'm okay. I sweat, you know, I sweat when I get up. And it's just part of me. They wouldn't let you walk anywhere. You could never fall over in that country because they surround you. And they're actually walking for you. So you're just, you can't carry nothing. You know, they're standing at your door when you come out in the morning. They got coffee. They got plates of food. They're just standing there waiting for you to wake up or whenever you come out, no matter what time it is. I'm an early riser, so I'm up like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. And I'd come walk. There they were. They'd be standing there. It's like, don't you sleep? Yeah. When? But just loving. And I mean, it changed my life. And I'll tell you, going to the leopard camp was probably the most humbling thing that anyone could do. Especially when you could see these people who, I mean, they had nubs for hands and feet, if they even had their feet. Their legs are gone, blind. Their children, holding their children, don't know if they're going to live from day to day. But they had come in just to worship God. They knew that He was the truth of their foundation. And then when they received the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, it opened up new doors for them. They could care less that a Catholic church came in and built them a nice little building. They said, why did they do this? Why don't they just give us the money so we can get medicine and we can get food? And you know, they build it in front of the road so you couldn't look back and see, because the Hindus believe they're cursed and they hide them. And they got pockets of them all over the country. But Calvin would get up and start worship and start singing, and they would start singing. They didn't know what they were singing, but they were singing. We didn't know what they were singing, but they were just singing and praising God. And even if someone that wasn't as bad as some of them would hold up someone else just so he could stand and sing and worship. And it was amazing. And the thing of it is, what I really got out of it was worship, the true meaning of worship, what worship really means. And the Lord has taken me into some verses here that has really opened my eyes to a lot of things. Because I'm not saying we don't know how to worship. It's how we worship. It's not... Well, I'll read this to you, and you tell me what you think, because it's just unbelievable what he says. In Ephesians 5, excuse me, 15 through 17, it says, therefore, be careful how you talk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand the will of God and what it is. And when you read God's word, and he tells us how we are to worship, it isn't walking around, standing on a corner going, praise God, look at me, I'm doing this, because right there you've broken the connection with God. Because you're doing nothing. You're doing nothing. When you're in obedience to God, then his blessings pour out. When you're doing work for the kingdom and praises for the kingdom, because it's his kingdom. Everything is owned by him. He owns it all. And we got to get it out of our mind that we are anything. I mean, these guys that walk around and their Mercedes or whatever fancy car they have and their $10,000 suits, that's all they're ever going to have. Because in the word of God, Jesus says, get away from me, I do not know you. That's pretty powerful. And then you go over to Second John, and it says, if anyone, Second John 1, verse 10, says, if anyone comes to you, does not bring this teaching, the word of God, he says, do not receive them into your house. And do not give him a greeting, for the one who gives him a greeting participates in evil deeds. He participates in evil deeds. Now, a lot of people question that, said we're supposed to love and you know, pray for everybody. Well, that's right. We are to love everyone. We are just supposed to pray for them. But we don't accept what they're doing as, you know, and I don't want to pick on anybody because I'm not here to do that, but when you got Mormons and you got Jehovah's Witnesses coming to your door trying to convince you their way is right when you know it's not the Word of God. So you just say, I'll pray for you and give you blessings and shut the door. Amen. Don't invite their evil into your home. You don't listen to what they want to tell you out of their word, because their word isn't this word. Amen. And then what? And then he takes me to John 20. I did have it marked. John John 20:29. So Jesus said to them, because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are those who didn't see me and yet believed. That's the people of India. You know, Thomas was in India. It was one of the towns we were in. Forgive me, I can't say the name of 90% of the towns I was in. I just know it was India. And you feel the anointing in that place because they still are a very strong Christian group. They're persecuted daily there, but they will not give up their faith. And it's so powerful. It's so powerful. And when the Lord sent us there, he said, and a few people here had visions about us going, and the Lord had shared with us, because our preparation for this trip was far beyond anything I've ever done before. Not only were we in a prayer group once a week, which we meet once a week with Rabbi and Tom and Bruce and Jane are Skyping, and we meet every Tuesday afternoon. And they've been doing this for 7 years. I've had a privilege to be there for a couple years with them. So we get prayer there. Then we'd go to Tom's house on a Friday and start praying in tongues. And this would go on for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours with the same group of people that could show up. And by the time we left, we were praying 4 times a day. Every time we stepped out of our hotel, before we left, 2 hours before we left, we were in prayer. Of course, you prayed while you were driving. Constantly. Oh, Lord, let us make it. You just know after about 2 or 3 days that you just give in to it and you're just praying. And then pray all the way home. I mean, this was every single day. And that's what the important part of worship to me is that if we're not constantly in prayer, like God says, we should be praying 24/7. You're driving down the road. Talk to him like we're talking right here. That's all you got to do. It isn't you have to get down and look where the sun's at. You don't have to make any special efforts. Just talk to him. That's all he wants. He wants to hear from his children. He wants to hear the blessings and the praises that you have for him. He wants to bless each and every one of us. And I'll tell you, the blessings that started from this trip because of the moment, and as you all know, that when Shelley was diagnosed with cancer, I had laid down this trip because she had this little tiny speck. Well, this tiny speck turned into a double mastectomy. And here she sits, healed and reconstruction because God... Not because of my obedience, God spoke to her and said he has to go right before her last surgery. And I said, well, if God's saying I have to go, then he's going to have to provide. And I'll tell you, it was $5,000 to go on this trip. In 2 days, God provided double. And he took 3 months of healing time off Shelley, that she doesn't have to have exactly everything that they said, how long it would take, because the doctor, when he started doing the reconstruction on her breast, is that they could only put 60 cc's of saline in each side. Well, the first time he did it, he put 240 in. He said out of all his years of being in that field, he's never been able to do that. And it's just progressing and progressing in her health. You know, she's going to be laid up. She can't do this. She's working again. You can't keep her down. She's just... So, yeah. We're at our last stages right now of finishing her complete construction, and then they'll remove the fake bags I got in there and put in the other fake bags that stay permanently. Okay. But, you know, it was that obedience, not only by me saying, yes, Lord, I will go, but Lord, I have to lay this down because you gave me my wife. And he says, oh, no, I'll take care of your wife. You're going. And that's exactly what happened. He not only took care of us, he take care of all the bills that had to be paid. Actually, we had extra money to help one of the other members go on the trip. That poor Calvin has 9 kids. Well, so, you know, Lord blessed him. So it was an amazing trip. I mean, I was hoping we got a video and a CD being put together right now of all the stuff that happened. The demonic, you'll be able to see it. You'll be able to see just how people fell as we walked out into the crowds. The healings that were going on, you can't count them. And we figured with the 600 pastors that were there that were so touched. And as I said, since we've gotten back, all of us keep getting emails from all these guys just saying, you won't believe what's happening. Well, yeah, we will, because it's God. God's an amazing creator, and his word is true. And if you step into his truth, look out. You get what you ask for. I don't ask for hot places to go, but he just keeps sending me to them. But it was such a privilege to go, because when we were there, we have already been asked to go to Nigeria and Belgium. The pastors are calling for us there to come in. Now, Tom has been to Nigeria, and there's such a witchcraft going on in that area that they've had demonics around them and flee because they can't get near them, because the anointing of God is just all over. When you walk in no fear, God's fear comes in big. And as the Lord, you know, they have to submit or run. Well, we want them all to submit. There is those who do run, but they're not running because of us. They're seeing these gigantic angels standing there fully armored up saying, hey, these are our Father's children. Get away from them. And so we're pretty excited about that. We've already got the trip back to India planned, and they're actually wanting us at least twice a year now instead of just once a year. So it's the movement started, and as I think as Alice was one of the ladies that had a vision of a wave rolling in to India with all the nations being rolled up in it receiving Christ. Well, that was the visions we had. This wave would come in and tear down, not just knock down the walls, but tear them down. And that's what we started seeing. And it's just a movement that's going right now for India. So pray for India. Just pray for their people, because they're wanting this. They want God. They want the monkeys and the elephants and the, you name it, it's a zoo in the street there. And it's pretty cool, though. But it's for the wrong reasons. And you know, everybody talks about India, people starving there. They're not starving. They're starving for the gospel. But food-wise, they have some of the best produce that you've ever seen in your life. Right in every street, you just pull over and go pick a group of bananas. They're only little tiny bananas. I don't know what they're called, but they're unbelievable how they taste. Coconuts, rice fields everywhere. You will not go, I mean, if you want a burger, it's just walking down the street if you really want one. But they sort of stay away from that stuff. A lot of chicken. But it's blessed. It's truly blessed at part of it. It's just receiving Jesus, and that's where they're heading. They're heading to the kingdom, and they know it. And so do all the other religions, and they're getting scared of it. So right now the government is run by the Hindus, and they're already starting to, if we would have been caught in baptisms, they would have arrested us and removed us from the country forever. But they just couldn't catch up to us. And that was God. So I know this is a very special day for Millie, and I seen her come in. And Millie, happy birthday. Huh?
That's not Millie.
Oh, well, I only see the top of her. Well, wherever she's at, her birthday and Shelly's birthday is the same day, so. Yeah, so we just praise God, and I just thank you. If it wasn't for this congregation of faithful people who I know would like to go on some trips, but sometimes you just can't, but if you can't, you can send those who can, and that's what this congregation does. It sends me out, and it sent me out all over, so. Praise God for that, and hopefully we just could, when this video gets together, we can all come in and we put it up and show you exactly everything that God is doing. Because once you see it, you'll know this is not of man's hands. Now, some of the filming, yes, but the miracles that are happening right in front of your eyes will just blow you away. So I praise God and I thank all of you. For your prayers, for your financial support, and let's conquer this together as a team of believers. Amen.
Amen.